I invite you to turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. While you're turning there, my wife, Cheryl, is with me, and she was listening to some old recordings, and we have a recording of Father's Day when my son was 5 years old. And I think he was around five. And she made sure that the boys gave me a Father's Day present. And he wanted to know, there's Mother's Day, there's Father's Day, what about Children's Day? Well, I don't know what I said to him, but I said, yeah, I think birthday and Christmas kind of falls into that category. You'll get your gifts. And I do want to also say how blessed it is to be a father, and those of you that are fathers. I have a message that I hope to challenge you from in Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. By the way, I was a pastor of Swift Creek Baptist Church for 34 years and semi-retired for the last 2 years. Verse 14 and 15, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I thank you for your holy word, and I pray that as I have read your word and as I expound your word this morning, that you will bless both the reading and the preaching of your word. Give us hearts to believe your word, to act upon your word. Help me as I preach to those gathered here today, and I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, our lives are full of situations where we are called upon to make a decision, to make a choice. Have you ever gone to one of those Baskin Robbins and, you know, you stand in there at the counter and they advertise that they have 31 different flavors? You got to make a choice, even in that situation. And, you know, there are many more important choices that we have to make in life, many more impactful choices that we have to make in life. And some of these choices are difficult. But as Joshua stands before the people, he gathered them together at Shechem, and he laid before them a choice that they had to make. Were they going to choose to follow the Lord God, or are they going to continue to worship the gods that their fathers had worshipped? Gods back in Mesopotamia, gods that were worshipped in Egypt. Now they're in the land of the Amorites. Will they worship the gods of the Amorites, or will they worship the one true God, the God of Israel? He reminded them of how God had blessed them, how God had delivered them from Egyptian bondage and provided for them. Will they worship God, or will they worship other gods? You know, things really haven't changed much since the day of Joshua. We are still faced with an important decision. Will we worship and follow the one true God? Will we believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and follow Him? Or will we follow the world and the ways of the world and the gods and religions of this world? No decision is more important in life than whether you will follow and serve the one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ. So to help you make the right choice, I am sharing this text of Scripture with you this morning. And since this is Father's Day, I call upon fathers to lead your family in making this as your right choice. I have two main points to share with you this morning. First of all, to choose the Lord. Choose the Lord. And secondly, don't just say you believe in the Lord, but serve the Lord. This is what we are called upon to do today. Now, first of all, note with me from our text the spiritual choice a father should make. And to make the right choice, this means that you need to, first of all, recognize the basis of this choice. Why should we serve the Lord? Why should we choose the Lord as our Savior and our God? Well, Joshua relayed and transmitted to the people gathered before him in verses 2 to 13 about how God had been their God, how He had delivered them, how He had blessed them, how He had guided them and provided for them and had done so much good for them. And then in verse 14, he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him." The key word there is therefore. Based on what all that God has done for them, therefore I call upon you to serve the Lord. Fear the Lord, reverence the Lord. And even so, God has done so much for us. He has given you life and breath. He is not only your Creator, but He provided a Savior, His own Son, who died for your sins on the cross. He deserves not only to be acknowledged as your Creator, but also as your Savior, and yes, your Lord, that you should follow and obey. Yes, we should choose the Lord because He's been so good to us. But we also need to recognize the need to make a choice. You see, the default position that we're born with is to not follow the Lord. We must make a choice. And that's what Joshua is calling upon them to do. There's no middle ground. Again, many of their ancestors had worshipped idols in Mesopotamia. They had worshipped other gods in Egypt. Now they're in the land and they're surrounded by Amorites and others who worshipped other gods. Now, are you going to worship the gods of your fathers? Are you going to worship the gods of the land in which you live? Or are you going to worship and serve the one true God? You can't have it both ways. You see, that's what a lot of them were doing. They were saying, you know, we worship the God of Israel, but we also like worshiping these other gods as well. No, you can't worship God and others. You must make a choice. God demands exclusive worship and service. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You must make a choice. And what will your choice be? Few today worship idol images. But there are many who say, you know, I believe in God, I worship God, I serve God, but yet you're also pursuing the material things of this world and the pleasures of this world and the sins of this world. Folks, you can't have it both ways. You must make a choice. And furthermore, this choice is demanded of us in the Word of God. Joshua could not endure double-mindedness, serving God and serving other gods as well. He said, we must serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth, is what this translation says. And the word translated sincerity literally means wholeness, completeness. You can't partly serve God and partly serve other gods. You can't halfway serve God and also pursue the gods and religions of this world and the pleasures of this world. You must make a choice and to serve God wholly and completely. Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? How long will you falter between two opinions? If Baal be God, serve him. If the Lord be God, serve him. Make a choice. And the people stood silent. And it wasn't until Elijah prayed and fire fell down from heaven and consumed his sacrifice while the sacrifices of the Baal worshipers remained wet that they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Yes, we must make a choice. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Don't be double-minded. You must make a choice to serve God wholly and completely, or you're not serving God. It is that simple. Or we live in a society that rejects absolute truth. We live in a society that says, you know, you can have it both ways. There's no absolute standard of right and wrong, of one God over the other, but you choose for yourself whichever way you want to be, whichever God you want to serve. You know, the Bible doesn't teach that. You must make a decision. You must follow the Lord completely. Remember what Jesus said to the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3? He said, I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Well, that's strong language, isn't it? Who is it that Jesus could not endure? He says, listen, either pursue me with hot passion and wholehearted devotion, or I would rather you be cold than this mealy-mally moderation, halfway belief and service of God. You must make a choice. And furthermore, Joshua calls upon the people to make a firm commitment to the Lord. There was no question where Joshua stood. He said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We're going to worship Yahweh, the God of Israel. He weighed the matter. He counted the cost and he made his choice. In spite of temptations, in spite of influences, in spite of what the majority will do, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, to be blessed fully, you need to serve the Lord fully. You can't just halfway follow the Lord and serve the Lord and expect to enjoy the true blessings of God in your life. Great preacher Charles Spurgeon told the story of a man who was invited more than once to taste the apples from his neighbor's orchard. And after several invitations and several times declining to accept the invitation, he asked why. We said, listen, I've tasted your apples. He said, well, which apples did you taste? Well, you know, the apples that fall into the road at the edge of the orchard there. He said, oh, listen, I planted those apples for the neighborhood boys to eat. Those are sour apples. Those are crab apples. But if you come into the midst of the garden, then you will taste the true sweetness of my apples. And even so, at the fringes and at the edges of Christianity, you will hear about self-denial. You will hear about humility. You will hear about the difficulties of what it is to live the Christian life. But once you fully commit yourself to the Lord, as you get closer and closer to God, into the center of His will, that is where you will taste the sweetness of what it is to be a true Christian. Yes, we need to make a firm commitment to the Lord. And furthermore, when you make that firm commitment to the Lord, to love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you need to set a personal example for others to follow. You see, to motivate them, the Israelites, to fully and exclusively follow the Lord, He declared His own choice, His own commitment, His own wholehearted devotion to the Lord. You know, a person's example can speak louder than their own words. And He set an example of wholehearted devotion to the Lord's. They knew that when He said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, He knew he had a lifetime of example of doing just that very thing. As a young man, he was so devoted to the Lord that he was chosen to be Moses' right-hand man, in addition to his brother. As a young man, he fought the Amalekites and led the Israelites in battle, trusting that God would give them the victory, and He did. Remember, it was Joshua that was chosen to be one of the 12 spies that went in to spy out the land. And though 10 of the 12 came back giving a bad report, oh, listen, we can't take the land. We can't take the land. It was Joshua and Caleb who said, we can take it because God will be with us. The victory is the Lord's. He declared his faith and devotion to the Lord as a young man, as one of the 12 spies. And though the majority were wrong, Joseph said, God will give us the victory. And then he was the one that succeeded Moses as the leader of Israel. He led them into battle, trusting in the Lord, and led in victory after victory after victory. He was the administrator of the kingdom at that particular time. Joshua was a man who, by his life example, consistently demonstrated wholehearted devotion to the Lord. You know, there are other examples in the Word of God. Every generation has their Joshuas who are wholly devoted to the Lord. Remember Enoch. Enoch lived in a day where men were departing from the Lord and rebelling against the Lord and even worshiping other gods. But Enoch was one of the few who so walked with God that he never died, but God took him straight to heaven. Noah lived in a wicked generation, and he believed God, and he told the people that a flood was coming, and he was ridiculed, but he kept building that ark. He served God fully and completely. Abraham was willing to leave the familiar surroundings of his home and to go to a land that God would show him. He walked by faith. He followed God completely. And he became the father of many nations and the father of the nation that would bring us the Messiah. Moses, who forsook the riches of Egypt to follow God with all of his heart, is yet another example. And those three Hebrew youths in Babylon who would not bow to Nebuchadnezzar's image because God had said, "You shall serve him exclusively." And though it meant being thrown into a fiery furnace, they stood their ground and declared their absolute commitment to the Lord their God. John the Baptist bravely stood before the very man who put him into prison and stood for God. John the Baptist was another man. The Apostle Paul stood before King Agrippa, who said, "All you almost persuade me to become a Christian." He failed to make the choice, but Paul made the right choice. From the time God called him, he said, "Yes, Lord, I will serve you." Yes, these are examples in the Word of God. And the same wholehearted devotion is needed today. Folks, look around us. This is not the same America I was born into in 1957. This is an America that is becoming increasingly wicked and perverted and turning from God. And folks, we need men and women and young people who are willing to swim against the stream and to say, "I'm going to follow God no matter what the rest of this world does. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Indeed, our choice as fathers and mothers and grandparents is to influence our family as well as others. You know, Joshua spoke for his family. "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." There was no question who was the leader in his family. It was Joshua. "We're going to serve the Lord." And you know, Mrs. Joshua said, "Well, we'll serve the Lord." The children said, "We'll serve the Lord." They followed the example. He had influence over his family. You know, the greatest influence in a child are his parents. Your parents, you have great influence over your children and how they behave and in the choices they're going to make in life. And yes, children can stray from their parents. There's no question about that. And even the best of parents sometimes will have children who say, "Well, you know what? I'm going to go the world's way." But God intends for parents to have the influence over their children. And listen, if you're going to have influence over your children, it cannot just be "do as I say," but "do as I do." You've got to set the example for your children. Example in how you talk and how you serve the Lord, how you worship faithfully. God intends for us to say, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord because I intend to have a godly influence over my family." I'm the beneficiary of a multi-generational commitment to God. My great-great-grandfather, Stephen Felker, no doubt said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He was a faithful member of the First Baptist Church of Monroe, Georgia. His son, my great-grandfather, likewise with his six children, said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And all those children grew up in church, and they continued in church. My grandfather said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And he was faithful to church his whole life, and in serving the Lord as a Sunday school teacher and in other ways. My father said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." There was never a question where we were going to be on Sunday morning. It was worshiping the Lord, serving the Lord. He served the Lord as an elder, as a Sunday school teacher, and other capacities as well. And so I grew up in church, and then God called me to preach when I was 18 years old. And when my children came along, again, there was no question where we were going to be on Sunday morning. We were going to be worshiping and serving the Lord. Yes, Joshua influenced his family, but he also influenced his nation. Notice in verses 16 to 18, the people gave their response to the challenge that Joshua gave them. And they said in the last of verse 18, "We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God." Yes, what a successful challenge that they said, "We will serve the Lord too, Joshua." And if you look on down in verse 31, it says, "Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel." What an impact Joshua had, not only on his family, but upon his entire nation. Yes, God expects us not only to choose to have wholehearted devotion to God, but to impact others to do the same thing. So I ask you this morning, what kind of spiritual influence are you having? Are you influencing your children and your grandchildren to follow the Lord and to worship the Lord and to serve the Lord? Listen, you can't have influence if you're silent about your faith. You need to publicly profess your faith. You need to follow the Lord in baptism publicly. You need to publicly say, "We're going to church today and we're going to worship God today." You need to say, "Listen, we're not having the devil's music in our house. We're not having the devil's videos and games in our house. We are going to serve the Lord." That's what Joshua did, and that's the way we should be as well. And so Joshua called upon the people to make a choice. To serve the Lord, to fear the Lord, to worship the Lord with wholehearted, undivided devotion to God. But the second main thought that comes out of his words is the fact that, yes, we should not only believe in the Lord, but we should serve the Lord. Twice in verse 14, he talks about serving the Lord. In verse 15, he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that Hebrew word translated serve is the common word for rendering service unto another. What kind of ways did Joshua serve the Lord? What kind of ways does the Bible talk about serving the Lord? Well, the Bible in the Old Testament says a whole lot about the service of worship. Yes, when you worship, you're serving the Lord. I mean, if you're really worshiping, not just that you're warming a pew, but that you're actively singing His praises, that you are bearing witness of your faith right here publicly, there is the service of worship, but there is also the service of obedience, where God says, I want you to do this and I want you to do that. And you say, yes, Lord, I will serve you. I will do what you would have me to do. Joshua served as the military leader. He served the Lord as the administrator of his nation. He served the Lord. And notice the performance of his service. He not only vowed to serve the Lord, but he did serve the Lord, as I've already mentioned. Listen, a profession of faith without the service of faith is an empty faith. Can you say that you choose Christ as Savior and not also serve Him as Lord of your life? But too many are not at all like Joshua. Their names may be on a church roll, but they're not actively engaging in the service of worship. They're not actively engaging in serving the Lord through the ministry of their local church. They may serve the Lord and worship the Lord when they don't have much else to do, when nothing more important to their eyes calls attention to what they should be doing. Do you serve the Lord? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37, the harvest is plenteous, but what? The laborers are few. Oh, there's so many who need to hear the gospel. There are so many who need Christian love and ministry. There are so many that need the ministry of this church. This church needs you serving, not just attending, but serving. Will you, with Joshua, say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? I want to commend those of you that served in Vacation Bible School. I tell you, there's no week of the year more important to reaching kids in Vacation Bible School. And some of you serve the Lord, and that's the way it ought to be. But also we see the leadership of his service. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Yes, it's not just I who will serve the Lord, but I'm going to see to it that my family serves the Lord as well. And no doubt they did. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, it says, the husband is the head of a wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. God expects fathers and husbands to lead out spiritually in worshiping and serving the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, he basically says that the head of Christ is God, and Christ is the head of every man, and that the head in the home is indeed the father and the husband. Men, we need to be more like Joshua and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, you can't force your children to believe in God. You can't force your children to serve the Lord, but boy, you can sure set the example. You can tell them what you expect. And many times, more often than not, they will indeed follow your example. Finally, we see the inclusiveness of his service. Again, Joshua said, listen, I'm not just going to serve the Lord, but my family, my household is going to serve the Lord. And that's the way it ought to be. The whole family serving the Lord. Not long after I came to Swift Creek Baptist Church over 35 years ago, a family that had moved from Oklahoma joined our church. The Brink family, eight children. And they faithfully brought those children to church They taught those children not just to attend church, but to serve the Lord. And as those children got old enough, they began serving the Lord. The older children would start cutting grass with their dad. We had grass cutting teams. As the children got older, many of them became Sunday school teachers, Awana leaders, vacation Bible school workers. In fact, I can't think of a single one of their eight children that did not serve the Lord. The parents actively set an example in serving the Lord in many different capacities in our church. And folks, that's the way it ought to be. Is your whole household serving the Lord? You know, in closing, I call upon anyone here today who has not heeded the call, choose this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve God? Are you going to worship God? Are you going to believe in God and His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for you on the cross? Are you going to remain in the middle ground of indecision? Or are you going to take your stand today, and say, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to follow Jesus. I assume we have an invitation at the end of the service, or invite you right now to make that decision and not just give a public profession of your faith, but also say, I'm going to follow the Lord in baptism. I'm going to publicly declare that I am following the Lord. I'm following the Lord. And then I call upon fathers to follow the example of Joshua and say, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Have you neglected your spiritual leadership in the home? Well, it's time to say, you know, I need to be more like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given great examples, not only Joshua, but Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Moses, the three Hebrews, Daniel who kept praying, though it meant the threat of death. Lord, help us to follow these great examples and to worship and follow you wholly. Lord, help us to not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.